Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I forgot to say last Sunday how nice it is to be back with you. It's been a while since I've been here, and I've been filling the pulpit at different churches, Faith, Jefferson Center, Clintonville. But what I do, I work Monday through Friday at Concordia Lutheran Ministries as a social worker, and then I get the honor of filling the pulpit at different Presbyterian churches. So it's nice to be here. I was going to say this is the closest. Meridian UP is right up the street from me, or Meridian Presbyterian. It's not UP anymore, but it's nice to be here. So thank you for having me. Well, if you want to flip to the title of the message this morning is The Most Powerful Preacher. The Most Powerful Preacher. And we heard some scripture verses. I put the title in red because I'm trying to make a statement this morning. So this morning, I would like to introduce to you the most powerful preacher. Is it Billy Graham? Is it this guy you might not have heard of before in the bottom right-hand corner, Billy Sunday? How do you like that? I don't know if that's his real name or his stage preacher name, but Billy Sunday, and there's a picture of him. He looks like a pretty powerful preacher. You want to go to the next slide? We've got John Knox and John Calvin. All right, let's move on. Is it Charles Spurgeon or Charles Stanley? Next one. We got another Charles. He goes by Chuck Swindoll. How about that? Or D.L. Moody, the Moody Bible Institute, the most powerful preacher. Got some more? Smiley Joel Osteen. What's laugh about? And Joyce Meyer. Who is the most powerful preacher? Let's go to the next slide. How about Dave Fox? The most powerful preacher in the whole wide world. My power undergarments on. Who is the most powerful preacher in the whole wide world? If you want to go to the next slide. The most powerful preacher. I don't know how that you ended up down there, but it's you. It's you. I asked Sierra, we were going through the list of things for today, and she was saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and then you'll do that, and we got to the sermon. I said, you're going to do the sermon, right? And she says, I'll do it. So maybe Sierra's the most powerful preacher. But no, the most powerful preacher is you. For you see, while you're listening to a sermon, you are preaching to yourself. I sit in pews and I listen to sermons, and I do my best to try to listen to the sermon and take in what the preacher is saying, but to be honest, while he's talking, if you want to go to the next slide, I'm talking to myself, and we're all talking to ourselves. You're talking to yourself right now. We do it all the time, whether we like to admit it or not. You're going to be talking to yourself the whole time I'm talking. And I know what you're saying. I don't. But here's something a little intimidating. The Bible says that God knows the inner thoughts of our mind. How about that? Does that blow you away a little bit? Like, we all know that God can be everywhere all the time, and he's all-knowing. But when you think about it, what the Bible says is true. And I don't know about you, but that intimidates me a little bit, to know that God knows the inner thoughts of my mind. We think what we're thinking is just us, because that's the realm we work in. But God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we're talking to ourselves. Research has shown that we carry an inner dialogue with ourselves at an astounding rate of 150 to 300 words per minute, or nearly 50,000 thoughts per day. Woo! That is a lot of talking. Some people even talk to themselves out loud. They don't even keep it to themselves. They talk out loud. Do you know anyone like that? My wife? All the time, I'm like, Becky, who are you talking to? I'll hear her talking, and like, does she have multiple, what's going on? Oh, I'm just talking to myself, because it helps you kind of, when you hear it out loud, you can kind of organize your thoughts, when you talk to yourself. Now, I like talking to myself because I appreciate intelligent conversation. Woo! All right, next slide. This morning, this is the whole crux of the message. I want us to consider what kind of sermon you are preaching to yourself, or what are you talking to yourself about? What is your self-talk like? Self-talk is like whenever you're working and maybe you accidentally miss the nail and you hit your thumb. Did you ever listen to someone's self-talk? It's interesting. Sometimes they'll swear, sometimes they'll say, oh, you're such an idiot. I was at Boyce's auto sales the other day, and the one mechanic had a big burn mark on his head right here. Of course, I had to ask, what happened to your head, Matt? He said, I was reaching over for a ball joint. I forgot how hot the catalytic converter was, and I rested my head against it. He said, I thought I got stung by a bee. And he said, you can't imagine the words that came out of my mouth. He said, and then I said, you idiot. So he was talking to himself. So what's your self-talk like? What are you talking to yourself about? And for this morning, what sermons are you preaching to yourself? Now, let's consider ourselves here in church. If you want to go to the next slide. If you're honest with yourself, maybe this is what you're thinking of right now. The Pirates, they're playing today. I think they won the last two games. So they could sweep the Padres today, right? Yeah. So maybe that's what you're thinking about, the Pirates and the Padres. I wonder if Dave's going to be put on different hats today. Last Sunday, if you weren't here, I had different hats and I did some silly things. Someone already asked me today if I brought any props with me. I said no. What am I going to do for lunch? Am I going to go out? Should I eat at home? Hope Dave doesn't preach too long because I've got the crock pot on. What projects do I need to get done today? I'm a list person. I have my list with me right now. I'm always writing down things that I got to get done. So maybe you're thinking, instead of the sermon notes, you're writing get grass cut. I put a picture there of a man's head for a reason, and I think I might have shared this before with you, that my dad was a barber, and we attended Meridian Church. And I remember after a church service, we'd be going home or we'd be sitting around having lunch. And my dad, we would talk about the church service, and he would say, "Did you see Bob Sloan's, the back of his head? I can't believe he doesn't square it off. He needs to square off the back of his neckline." And then, "Did you see, Don Wilson? He needs to get a haircut." So the whole time during the church service, my dad was just looking at people's haircuts. That's all he got out of a church service, was looking at haircuts. And we can all laugh at my dad, but I wonder what you're getting out of a church service. So here's the challenge, if you want to go on to the next slide. The Word of God, I mean, this is an important part of, our life. Coming to church, and hopefully you're coming for the right reasons, mainly because you want to hear the Word of God. You want to draw closer to God. And the Word of God is preached, and I challenge us and I encourage us, let's really do our best to receive the Word of God and let it speak to us. There's lyrics here from a song that came out a while ago, but the lyrics are so powerful. "Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see? Open my eyes, your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you. Beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need to be with you and in the quiet is to hear your voice. Word of God, speak." That should be our prayer. During the prelude, there's a reason there's a prelude in the church service. It's not just a little bit more time to talk to each other, but it's a time for us to pray a prayer just like that. "Lord, I'm here for a reason. I'm in church. And I know there's a lot of neat parts of coming to church, but the most important part is the Word of God. Word of God, speak." And you know, each one of us, whenever we hear the Word of God being preached, we're going to interpret it and we're going to receive it in our own individual way. Each one of us is going to preach a different sermon because of how each one of us individually interprets what's being communicated. Here's an important thing. We can talk ourselves into or out of what God might be speaking to our hearts by the type of sermon that we're preaching to ourselves. Once the Word of God is delivered, and it is powerful, I don't know if you kind of experienced it when Sierra was reading. Did the Word of God speak to you when you heard Romans, when you heard Colossians? Setting our minds on the Spirit that brings life. There is power in the Word of God. And once it's delivered, it's up to you what you want to do with the truth of God's Word. There's a little picture there of the hands with the soil and the little growth coming out. And Jesus uses that classic parable, the sower and the seed. And he talks about the seed, the Word of God, being thrown out. And what's the condition of the soil of our heart? Is it callous? Does the seed just bounce off of it? Is it full of worries and anxieties? Or does it have some real good soil that takes the seed and receives it and accepts it for what it is? If you want to go on to the next slide, I carry around with me in my Bible this handy little chart. That's what it's called, handy little chart. God has a positive answer. In green, it says, "You say," and then in red, it says, "God says," and then to back it up, it's got blue, the Bible verse, to go along with it. And I know, unless you have really good eyes, I don't know if you can see that, but "You say it's impossible. God says all things are possible." The list goes on and on and on. "You say I'm not able. God says I am able. You say I'm not smart enough. God says I'll give you wisdom. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we talk ourselves out of the many blessings of God because we preach doubt, discouragement, disbelief, negative talk. We preach sermons like, I'm never going to get through this. Could you imagine that being the title of a sermon? There's no way out. Nothing ever seems to change. We may say to ourselves, well, that might have been biblical. You know, back in Bible times, that might have been applicable, but not nowadays. You know, oh, sounds great, but it's not really for me. I challenge you, if you're preaching sermons like this to yourself that are not based on the truth of God's word, which means they're not doctrinally sound, to crumple them up and put them in file 13. Throw those sermons away. Let me ask you a question. I love asking this question. Has God ever let you down? Nope. And maybe like that cross stitch, you're looking at the bottom of it and you're thinking, yeah, God lets me down all the time because I can't make sense of stuff. But as time goes on, you look back and you say, you know what? God's never let me down. Sure, there's been lots of hurts and misunderstandings and things that I don't have the answers to. But in the end, nope, he's never let me down. So what kind of sermon are you preaching to yourself? Here's the question, is it based on the truth of God's word? When you're going through a tough time, I encourage you to preach a sermon that's titled, This Trouble is Going to Be Turned into a Testimony. Let me give you a real simple 10-point sermon to preach to yourself when you're going through a tough time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what I'm not preaching, and I don't want this to be misunderstood, is mind over matter. I'm not preaching that. And I know that's found in some religions. Oh, if you just put your mind to it. You know, mind over matter. No. What I'm preaching is God's word over matter. And you taking God's word in your mind and applying it to the matters of life. I'm going to quickly, real quick, go through four examples of self-talk found in the Bible. There was people who talked to themselves in the Bible, and it's actually in the scriptures. The first example that we're going to look at is Isaiah 14, if you want to look it up or make a note. This is the first time that I found recorded in God's word of someone speaking to themselves. In this passage, God records the sermon of Lucifer, of Satan. He says to himself, I will make myself like the Most High. I don't know how that came into a created angelic being. That's way beyond my theological understanding. But it happened. And Lucifer said to himself, I'm going to make myself like the Most High. And I think we all know what happened with Lucifer. God heard these thoughts, and he cast Lucifer and his followers out of heaven. And unfortunately, many people in the world today are preaching the same type of sermon to themselves. I don't need God. Who's God think he is? I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to do things my way. And God will let people live their life however they want. The second example we're going to take a look at, and this is the longest example, and I'm going to rattle through this pretty quickly, is David. We remember David, of course, whenever he faced Goliath. You know, his brother said to him, what are you doing here? You should be back with the sheep. King Saul said, you're too little. He's had a lot of people preaching negativity to him. You don't have the experience. You don't have the equipment. Goliath comes out and scarfs at him. Who do you think I am? I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. But David preached a sermon to himself based on the truth of God's word. He listened to what God said to him. God reminded him of how he had taken down a bear and a lion. And God said, David, I'll be with you. You don't need all this armor. I'll be with you. Do things how I want you to do them. And it didn't make sense, but David did it God's way. But then later on in 1 Samuel, we find David fleeing from King Saul because now David is speaking fear into himself. He's preaching a different message. In verse 1, it says that David said to himself, one of these days, I'm going to be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Now David is afraid of the guy who was afraid of Goliath. David had forgotten how Samuel had visited his father's house and how he overlooked all his brothers, but then he poured the horn of oil over him and anointed him the next king of Israel. He had forgotten all that God had spoken into his life. Why should David be running from the man he's going to succeed? What David was preaching to himself was false doctrine. One of these days, I'm going to be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Back when he was facing Goliath, it didn't matter what his brothers said to him. Didn't matter what King Saul said to him. Didn't matter what Goliath said to him. He took care of business God's way. It didn't faze him. But here we see what David said to himself sends him running for his life. And then later on, David's life continually starts steadily go downhill. He begins to lie and steal, kill. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David's planning to fight against the people of Israel that he was called to rule over until a war general expels him. The Philistines end up attacking Israel and defeating them and killing Saul and his sons. David and his buddies, they go back to where they had camped at Ziklag, and they find out that while they were gone, another army had come and wiped them out. They had burned their village, stole their wives, and all their belongings. At that point, the Bible says that David and his men, that they wept until they did not have any more tears to cry. Have you ever been put in that position? And they begin to pick up stones, and they're getting ready to stone David. And then in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, David encouraged himself. He spoke to himself, and he found strength in the Lord his God. He went back to God. And we see here that David began to preach a different sermon to himself. David says he sees them picking up stones. He says, guys, drop the stones, get your swords out. I have asked God what I should do, and he told me that we're to pursue this army. They went at night. The Bible says that they recovered everything that had been stolen from them, their wives and all their belongings. That's where that song maybe we've sung in Vacation Bible School comes from. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Do you remember that song? I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. What was the difference? How did all this occur? It happened because David was preaching a different sermon to himself. It's important what kind of sermon we're preaching to ourselves. The third example is a parable, Luke chapter 15. It's the classic of the prodigal son. I think we're all familiar with the account of the prodigal son, the parable. I love the part here where it says that he came to his senses, the light went on, and he says to himself, he's speaking to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I came up with a good idea. I think I'll go back and to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And we know what happens. The father receives him, forgives him, has a party, and there's a restored relationship. He preached a good message to himself. It was a message of repentance and confession and asking for God's forgiveness, and there was a restored relationship. And then the fourth example is found in Matthew chapter 9, and this is the woman with the issue of blood. It says, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his cloak. She said to herself, she's talking to herself, and this is the message she's preaching, if I can only touch the cloak, I will be healed. What a great message that she preached to herself. She preached a message of faith. And what were the results? God heard her, and she was healed. So wrapping things up, I want to go back to the text that Sarah read at the beginning. May our minds be set on the truth of God's word. Romans 8, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And then Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, the truth of God's word, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. If you can go to the next slide. Whenever I hear those words, set your minds, right away I think of my grandma and grandpa Myers in Sligo and their old console television and their farm. And there was this thing on top of the television that would operate the antenna that was up in their attic. And I remember sitting there, and you would hear, you know, up in the attic, this thing moving, and then all of a sudden there would be Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom, it would show up clearly, you know, or the Lawrence Welk show, you know, back when we had three channels. This is what the Bible's saying. Make the adjustment in your mind, the antenna, on the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, whatsoever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, set our minds on those things. Think about those things. May the things of God consume our thoughts. May our thoughts be set on the things of God. That's what I really like about my wife. She's always talking about God. And I don't mind one bit. Driving down the Pennsylvania Turnpike this past spring, the leaves hadn't come out, but there in amongst all those brown trees were these like lavender bushes. And she said, David, look at that. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? God created lavender. Isn't that beautiful? She's always thinking about God. And may we continually preach the truth of God's word to ourselves. Sermons based on faith of God, God's power, and see what God will do. You know, if we do, if you want to go to the final slide there, if we preach sermons to ourselves based on the truth of God's word, then maybe like David, we're going to have some victories. Maybe like the prodigal son, we're going to have some restored relationships. And maybe like the lady with the issue of blood, we can receive a healing. Let's pray. Father, we confess that oftentimes when we're talking to ourselves, we're not talking in biblical truths, according to who you are and what your word says. So, Father, we would ask that you would instill us in us your word, that our minds would be set on the things of you, and that would bring about life. Father, I pray that you'd help us to preach sermons that are doctrinally sound. And like these examples, that we can have power and victory in our life, that we can have restored relationships, if we would just do things your way, that we could receive a healing. And Father, whenever life is going good, help us to point to you. It wasn't mind over matter. It was you. You and your strength working in our weakness, and us placing our faith and trust in you during the circumstances of life. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Our hearts are overflowing with thankfulness towards our living God. He gives to us everything we need. Let us return to him our gifts of praise and tangible gifts of gratitude.
There'll be a homecoming some morning when Jesus calls us away. I'll see Mother and Daddy. Lord, I am ready for homecoming day. Precious ones have gone on before. Our Lord waits for no man. Salvation has gained us a ticket to see them and a place in God's final plan. There'll be a home.